Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your host, Ryan Dangler.
You picked a tie? What are we, in Europe?
Soccer? Well, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing... No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of as today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flus over there.
I'm not Captain Flus.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah, wow.
Show,
maybe no, I have talent. Is that what we find out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I am your host, Ryan Dangle. Wait a minute. I recognize that fight song. Where, oh, where do I recognize that fight song from? Huh. Interesting. Would that be NIU's fight song? I should bring Brendan Chagrou, the assistant editor of Bears Wire, onto the podcast. If you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. I'll also bring on Patrick Sheldon onto the podcast. If you want to find Sheldon on Twitter, it's at P_Shells. Boys, oh, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. Also, biggest NIU fan I think I know, other than one of my friends will get a shout out. I don't know. Did you guys happen to watch any games on Saturday? I'm not sure if there was any really, really good games. Any of them? Yeah, we're going to talk Bears. I've already got. Is this a Northern podcast? No, it is not. Just give me like two more minutes to bask in the glory. Jack is not here. It would be better if he was, because then I could throw it in the face of two Notre Dame fans instead of just the one.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize this was the Husky Down to Kalb podcast. Yeehaw! Happy Corn Day to everybody.
16-14.
Your moment, take your victory lap.
I'm taking it.
I know. I am sad that I root for the Dallas Cowboys of college football.
Did we go? I'm trying to think. Did Notre Dame come? No, they paid us $1.4 million to go there and beat them. They were the number five team. I'm sorry. We will talk Bears in just a second. But anybody that knows me knows I am a diehard Husky fan. I will put this on. I don't care who knows it. I fully cried. I was so happy. I was elated. I have loved this team since I stepped on campus in 2003 and drove down all the way to Miami to watch them play in the Orange Bowl and get spanked by Florida State. I've watched a whole lot of it. And so it just, victory lap is now complete.
Where does this rank, Dangle, for you in sports team experiences?
Man, it is up there. So you guys know I like baseball, but I'm not a diehard. So the Cubs winning the World Series was pretty special. I don't really remember much of the 85 Super Bowl. I was alive for it, but I don't really remember it. And then, you know, I man, Bears NFC Championship, obviously Bears Super Bowl, Devin Hester kick. They're all on the top. I don't know, top five, I guess, somewhere in there. This one was pretty special. It's pretty special. Let's talk Bears, because otherwise people are going to start leaving the podcast. I think I lost six followers on Twitter because of all the NIU stuff that I have been posting. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Boys, we got a fun packed episode. It's a double victory weekend, right? Like, I mean, we're all celebrating Northern. We're also going to be celebrating the Chicago Bears 24-17 victory over the Tennessee Titans. Boys, I think we should thank some people and then we should hop right into it. Anything else that we want to chat about before we thank one of our amazing sponsors?
No, and I use a commuter school.
Commuter school that just beat Notre Dame. I mean, you can say you could say whatever you want to right now. Anything at all, Shagru. Anything.
I will. And you know what I am going to say? I'm going to use this time to thank our awesome partners instead of piling on you and wallowing in self-pity, to say that we love our guys at Sheridan's Barbershop and Hensel's Barbershop. Sheridan's Barbershop is located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, and they've been serving the community since 1954. They have six barbers, and they are open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And they have appointments available to book online by phone, online or by phone at your convenience. So visit SheridansBarbershop.com or call 630-668-0137 and book yours today. And also make sure you check out Hensel's Barbershop, which is in downtown Naperville. They've been located there since 1966. They too have six barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They accept walk-ins and appointments. So make sure you book yours today at their website, henselsbarber.com, where traditional meets modern.
All right, boys. So for me, this was a tale of two halves, but I just, you know, bring it back. We've had a lot of awesome off-season episodes. If you want to go back and listen, that last one, guys, I laughed a lot. Listening back, I got to laugh a lot. And that's the thing that I love most about this podcast. So for all you audio-only listeners, go back, check it out. For all of us on YouTube, it's just a click away. So let's do this, boys, because we got to get back into the saddle. It's regular season. These games count for real. So let's do this, boys. Let's give me your overall thoughts on the Chicago Bears 24-17 win. We'll hit some outhouse and penthouse a little bit later. We'll talk about all that stuff, anything that we missed. And then I want to look forward to next week and just kind of see if we're still feeling the same way about the Texans that we did when we recorded last week. We got a packed episode, so let's do it, boys. Brendan, why don't you talk us through, how are you feeling about this? Just overall thoughts on the game. Where are you at?
Well, before I give my overall thoughts, does anyone want to hear a breakdown?
Practice, and I just got so excited about giving you a hard time about NIU that we absolutely do in fact. All right, so peel back the curtain, Brendan. Don't forget that you got to wait a second for the outhouse. For the breakdown music to play before you can talk, because our audio or whatever our software can't handle it.
Football is back at Soldier Field. Put the beefs on, dig out those antidepressants, and make sure the whiskey is readily available, because the Chicago Bears are back in action against the Tennessee Titans. And boy, did they put on a show that would have rivaled Madam Web for worst performance of the year early on. Tennessee made sure the Bears ate their vegetables when Tony Green Pollard got shoved down the defense's throat for the 7-0 score. Then Rick Velus Jones set the kitchen on fire when he dropped the ensuing kickoff, which gave the Titans another score. Things went from bad to worse as Will Levis hooked up his jeans and fired a shot at the Chinookay Corral Quail. God, I can't even say that. To lead 17-0, in the words of Krusty the Clown, this is brutal. But just like the Simpsons, the Bears never die. Simone Biles' husband, Jonathan Jesse Owens, showed gold medal speed by returning a block punt for a touchdown. But the play that sealed it was Tyreek Hill Stevenson proving he can't be detained by the police and ran away from the cops with a pick for the win, while Will Levis assumed the position on the ground. 24-17, Bears.
I I can't believe I was going to skip that. And I'm Brendan. I'm sorry. I even forgot my line. My favorite part about Brendan's brain. Break it down, baby. Right? Like I didn't even get to say it. So it was fantastic. It was a fantastic start. All of it, Brendan. We're just so lucky to have you here, buddy.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. You know, I think we're all kind of getting in the groove still, and you just kind of showed what the Bears' performance was early on, just kind of stuttering through some stuff. And, you know, but we find our rhythm just like the Chicago Bears do. I'll just kick things off quickly with my overall thoughts. I mean, look, you don't apologize for ugly wins. Bad pizza is still pizza. Bad sex, you still had sex. Ugly wins, they're still wins. And you know what? I'd rather have an ugly win early on because it gives the team time to prepare and clean up those mistakes. It kind of gives you a little bit of breathing room. And there were definitely a ton of mistakes. I thought the offensive flow was just really clunky. Things just weren't flowing well. Even early on when DeAndre Swift started to get going, the running game looked good, and then it just faltered, and it felt like there was no good adjustments there. I didn't think Shane Waldron called a particularly good game. I joked on Twitter that at some point the offensive coordinator is always going to get the boot out of town. People are going to want him out. There were people calling for him at half. I got the internet of death. Can you hear me?
So my video, my video goes bad. Your audio goes bad. Yeah, I can't.
No, that was me. I'm back, though. Can you hear me? Oh, geez. We're really starting off like the Bears today, guys. This is off. Jesus Christ. Okay. What I was saying, though, is I just thought the offense looked clunky. I thought that Shane Waldron didn't call a particularly good game. Caleb looked antsy. I think he was just a little bit frustrated early on, and that kind of, you know, continued. But thank God for this defense and thank God for the special teams. Those are truly two special units that the Bears have. And I think this pretty much was just like a 2006 game where you're relying on those guys. So a lot to clean up, but I will take an ugly win. Totally, especially early on.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way as Brendan. You know, it's good to get that ugly win out of the way, and you know, hopefully we can start to work out some of these issues going into next week. I had four kind of buckets of things that I think were concerning to me, and I think we'll get into them later. But I have varying levels, varying degrees of concern about whether they'll improve though over the rest of the season, and I'll throw them out there. Play calling. I had some concerns about the play calling. Seemed like he was getting a lot of pressure up the middle, and I would have expected more rollouts, more boots, more things on the perimeter to help get away from that pressure. I didn't see a whole lot of that, and it's odd because that seems to be what Caleb likes to do the most. The run game, you know, that was kind of a surprise to me because it was so effective last year, and maybe it was because of that threat of Justin Fields that made the rest of the run game so effective, but I expected a little bit more out of the run game today, and I do expect that to improve, but was disappointed in that. The O-line, I don't know what to say about it. Our concerns are starting to rear their heads already this season. The interior was absolutely atrocious. And then Caleb, right? There are some concerns, sure, after game one. But I think of those four, the two that I'm least concerned about are obviously Caleb and the run game. But I'm very concerned about the offensive line. And Dangle's internet, I think. That's five.
Dangle's internet is terrible. So I think some of you can hear me, but nobody can see me. Whatever. This is indicative of a Matt Eberflus start. Cold start.
Only one person's got it. TJ, is this anything to do with you trying to get my account hacked by the Department of Justice? He's the only one that'll understand that joke, and I'll share with you guys offline. But TJ tried to get me arrested over the weekend. So thanks, TJ. Maybe our computers are now corrupt.
Can you all hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes. Okay. So the Matt Eberflus cold starts it seems to be rearing its head. And I thought, oh man, here we kind of go again. I want to give credit where credit is due. You guys know last season I was just really, really harsh with Matt Eberflus. And I think in a lot of ways, I think it was definitely warranted. But I also want to make sure that I give credit where credit is due. Dude had a phenomenal game plan, you know, and I don't know if it was just him, Eric Washington, the combination of the two of them, but that defense played inspired second half football. And that was really, really, really fun to watch. The first half was dreadful. Boys, I understand there are going to be growing pains. I understand that things are going to take a little bit. You have a new offensive coordinator. You have a whole bunch of new offensive weapons. You have a new quarterback who also happens to be a rookie. But I don't want to continually watch historically bad offense, not like mediocre offense, but just atrociously, terribly awful, no good offense, and then very good special teams and defense. I've seen that game before. I've watched that movie before. I know how it ends. I don't want to watch that anymore. I am sincerely hoping that as the season goes on, Shane Waldron and company will get that situation fixed so that I don't have to watch that ever again.
No, I totally get it. And I think, look, I kind of expected this. I really, maybe not 93 yards or anything like that, but I kind of expected like between 150 and 200 yards, maybe a touchdown, but no interceptions, no turnovers. And that's, I think, what I want to stress right now is that while Caleb Williams wasn't great, he definitely misfired throws. I think he was inaccurate at times. His deep ball wasn't there at all. That's, I think, was the biggest surprise. He overthrew Keenan Allen. He overthrew, I think, Odunze at one time. It just wasn't there. But he didn't turn the ball over. And I think that's so important because there was very little room for error when it came to the Bears offense. So the fact that they at least took care of the ball, they didn't give the Titans short fields except for our friend Velus Jones. The offense wasn't the culprit for that, at least. So I think I'll take that away, at least saying like that's a positive. He wasn't helped out by the receivers. He definitely wasn't helped out by the run or the blocking either. I mean, everybody, what you guys said, Coleman Shelton, he looked so much better in the preseason. Whoa. And he just could not handle what the Titans were bringing at him. And I know the Titans have a good defensive front. Like Jeffrey Simmons is a legit dude. So, you know, you have to help out there. And it's so funny. There was one play he actually did help out and triple team Simmons and left his own guy to go after Williams. That was such a bad move. So, from like the top down, it just felt like nobody was in sync, except really maybe for the last drive when they were able to chew up clock in the 4-minute offense and then, you know, do enough to pin the Titans deep. So I'll just take solace that at least Williams didn't turn the ball over. He admitted to being frustrated. He admitted that there were things that he personally could have done better. And I think he has the pedigree, and I know I've seen it in college, that he can grow from this and learn from this. And just this isn't going to be the norm by any means.
Yeah, I just want to – I'm trying so hard to not be, like, all the time negative. I really, really tried to do that, like, to preface everything within our text thread and the tweets that I posted today, that it's like, it's early. Let's chill. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. But, you know, I keep coming back to this, that Ryan Poles has really two blind spots, really bad blind spots. And the first one is the freaking offensive line. And he's a former offensive lineman. You know, I can't quite wrap my head around that. Just that you're right, Brendan. We were singing Coleman Shelton's praises. And I think I said something to the effect of, if he continues to play the way that he played in the preseason, I'll shut my mouth and won't say a word. But instead, I have to be an insufferable prick to everybody because I kept pounding the table saying, get a freaking center, get a freaking center. This was just as bad as Sam Mustipher, right? And just Lucas Patrick. It's just as bad. And so you have this center exchange amongst a quarterback, which I will say this, that part wasn't the worst of it. You know, he was able to get the ball to Caleb Williams, but then he couldn't block. like at all. He's getting blown up every single play. And I just, it's absolutely maddening. And the other one that I know we'll talk about in detail a little bit later, when we get to the outhouse and the penthouse, it's no question about it. Dude has a blind spot for Velus Jones. I don't understand what we are freaking doing here. He seems like the most wonderful human being. Every interview I've watched, he seems just like super engaged and awesome kid. I wish him well wherever he goes, but I don't want him to be a Chicago Bear anymore. I'm sorry, dude. His, and I tweeted this almost word for word, his proclivity towards turning the ball over at the most inopportune times ever should supersede all of his athletic ability. And I'm so unbelievably sick of watching this kid just throw the ball away, just in just in ways that, I mean, they're lucky that it was only a field goal, but still, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. Sorry.
He kicked the ball away that time. Mm-hmm.
Brendan, I needed that. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll be fair to Velus. Like, he looked good in the limited times he got the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he did, you know, he looked okay, but play to his strengths then. Why are we putting him in a situation that he can't succeed in? It's been how many years? We know he can't return kicks or punts. Like, we know that.
I don't know. I mean, is it already time to go to the outhouse, the penthouse? Is there anything else in particular that we really want to talk about this game? Is there something really that stood out to you boys that you say, damn, I really want to talk about this part of it?
I would like to know your thoughts on Nate Davis's status next week. Like, he just, I don't know. It seems like a situation that could quickly turn into he's unavailable for a variety of reasons. I'm anxious to see how he responds to getting benched effectively.
I don't think he wasn't benched. At least not. Like,
well, he came back in, but he was clearly removed for performance reasons.
I'll take the coach at his word here, because that's the only thing I can do at this point. Eberflus was asked about that in his press conference, and he said the plan was to rotate both guys because both of them missed good chunks of the preseason and good chunks of training camp, so they wanted to see what they had in them. Again, I totally get the, you know, your theory about they potentially want to see. I know, but
week one should not be the time you're beta testing your offensive line, though. That's the truth. That's worse. That's worse.
I know, but this is what he does. This is, I think, another, you know, Eberflus blind spot. This is what he does. He likes to tinker with the offensive line and, you know, rotate guys in. Remember, we saw it last year with Tevin Jenkins. We saw it with Larry Borum. We saw it even 2 years ago with Lucas Patrick and Tevin Jenkins. This is what he does. It's not a good thing. I am a big proponent of playing consistent five guys. So I don't like it, but I think that's the reason. And I do wish he would just stick with one lineup and let them gel, because you're still – Coleman Shelton's new. Tevin Jenkins has only been a left guard for 1 year now. Darnell Wright is a second-year player. Like, this is still a relatively young offensive line that's still needing to gel. So that's all I'll say about that. But I understand what you're saying, though, Shells.
Yeah. So I want to ask you guys this, and Brendan, because you seem to be, maybe optimist isn't the right word, but maybe having a slightly more optimistic view of this situation. I mean, do you see how they can improve this offensive line going forward? I mean, because it was atrocious. It was an absolute train wreck today. I mean, do we just give full credit to the Tennessee Titans for finding a way to get it done, or? I mean, are we stuck with this performance of an offensive line that will more than likely get our number one overall pick killed at some point?
I don't know the answer to that, because it is so early and these guys really have only played a handful of snaps together. I do think that Waldron can give Caleb Williams and the offense just, you know, some breaks and cut the field in half if he needs to. And you talked about not rolling him out enough. I thought his best pass of the day came on a rollout where he fired a nice shot to DJ Moore right near the sideline. And I don't think Caleb Williams' play in the pocket was necessarily bad. but you do buy yourself more time when you do designed rollouts and maybe some more jet sweeps and create motion as well to potentially see what kind of defense is being run. I don't think they did enough of that. So I guess it's just too early to tell for me. I saw some comments asking like, hey, what can Ryan Bates do at center? I'm not sure if they're ready to pull that plug either, because that's a whole nother situation where you have to then get Caleb comfortable with Brian Bates. And then that means, are you comfortable with Nate Davis the whole time in case he goes down? I would like to see what this looks like after like 3 weeks. And I know you don't want to like do that to this offense because you're facing a pretty good Texans defense. The Colts have some guys up front. I know we talked about that earlier this week, but I think there does still need to be a little bit more time, but I do think Waldron can do some things to alleviate the pressure literally and figuratively coming through the interior of the line.
Yeah, it's got to work, RD. I mean, I don't think they've got many other options. I think this configuration has to work.
Well, it's interesting that we've got a really good conversation going on in the chat. Our good friend of the pod, Matt Vander Zanden, we abandoned the run too early. Here's the thing. It's hard to argue with that, but also I don't think Waldron was running effectively. You know, I don't want to be a wet blanket. I don't want to be the negative guy all the time. I truly don't. But when Shane Waldron was hired, you know, everyone I spoke with said the dude doesn't commit to the run, and he doesn't run creatively. And sometimes he kind of runs into a wall, and that like outside run that they kept doing, just, it didn't seem to be working. And I just, I don't know. I mean, Brendan, I know you're making a face, dude, but I don't see how you don't help him out in some way, why you don't help out Caleb Williams by running the ball more, you know, setting up for that play action, letting him do those boots that he does so well out to the outside. It was not a great game for anyone in the offensive side of the football. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. I don't think there's anything to argue there, right? That the offensive line didn't play well. I don't think Caleb played very well. The wide receivers, Keenan Allen dropping that touchdown, that was rough. DeAndre Swift had a couple good runs, but I mean, I the offensive staff and offensive unit had a bad day.
Yeah. Well, let me say this quickly about DeAndre Swift. He did have good runs early. He was getting like 5 yards, 6 yards, and then he just got stopped in the backfield. Guys were getting through. He wasn't able to shed tackles, and why would he? He's kind of a smaller dude. If my math is correct, until the last drive where he got a 20-yard run and then he had another 6-yard run, or a 4-yard run, I guess, he had 6 yards rushing before that last big drive that the Bears had. It's a problem. Yeah. I do want to question the Bears is running back choices, where they didn't have Roshon Johnson available, who's a bigger back. You know, he's a thumper. He can get maybe those short yardage situations. Yeah, exactly, Bruja. We really miss Rojo. I tend to agree. And when it comes to the Bears rushing totals, I'll say this. DeAndre Swift had 10 carries for 30 yards total. That doesn't tell the full story because he got 20 yards on one carry and he lost a ton of yards on multiple occasions. Khalil Herbert had 2 carries for 4 yards. So this was kind of a one-man show. Velus Jones had 2 carries for 11 yards. I just think they really missed Rojo with what he can do because they just don't have that big bruising back that could get those third and twos and third and ones. That's why it felt like such a long, it just felt like such a big task. I thought the Bears did a pretty good job of getting closer to first downs. They couldn't convert though.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think it does come back to what Sheldon was harping on big time, which is the offensive line was hot garbage today, especially in the middle. And I don't think there's really much of a debate of that. And so I mean, if there's something else that you really want to harp on right now, let's do it. But I think it's time that we get out to the outhouse and the penthouse. Do you want to do it, boys?
Sounds good.
All right, boys. It's time.
The outhouse and the penthouse.
The outhouse and the penthouse is brought to you by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a real investor? Are you a small business owner? Are you someone that says, hey, I want to get into this? You commercial real estate expert. There's nobody else that you should be reaching out to other than Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. He's got generations of experience. Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties for all of your commercial real estate needs. Trust Jeff Cadwallader. Visit jeffcre.com or give him a call or a text at 630-254-4734. Huge favor, if you do talk to Jeff Cadwallader, let him know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello. All right, boys. And so I think that, you know, we got a couple of people in the chat saying, hey, Bears won, the Bears won. I agree. I don't want to be too negative. An ugly, ugly, ugly win is still a win nonetheless. And so I think we need to, you know, take stock in that the Bears are 1-0. And that's something to be happy with. And so with that being said, we are going to go to the penthouse first. For penthouse, let's go Patrick Sheldon, Brendan Shagru, and I will finish it up. Penthouse, boys.
Yeah, I'm going to go maybe on the fringe a little bit and go with DeAndre Carter, who I thought had a couple of nice returns. I've watched some of the other games today and didn't see a whole lot done in the return game with the new kickoff rule. And Carter set up a couple of really nice short fields there with two returns. So hopefully that continues, because it doesn't look like there are many opportunities in the kickoff game with these new rules. But he seemed to find some room, and you know, hopefully he's found something he can exploit, because it was nice to have that starting field position for our rookie quarterback, even if they didn't really do anything with it once they got it.
Okay, I know Dangle doesn't like groups. Am I okay to take the defensive line?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Whew. Yes, I get the whole defensive line. Put them in the penthouse. Put them in the penthouse, because these guys balled the hell out. I want to read some stats to you. Daryl Taylor, the guy the Bears got for a sixth-round pick, he only had 2 sacks as well as 2 tackles for loss. He had 7 solo tackles as well. How about Jervon Dexter? 4 total tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss. And then the guy, one of the most unsung heroes of the Bears defense is Andrew Billings, the guy in the middle. I had our guy, Cork City Bears fan, if those who don't know, from the Irish Bears show, send me a message. He loves Andrew Billings. I love him too. He was just a wrecker out there, and he created some sacks. He was getting through and chasing down Will Levis. And then DeMarcus Walker creating the strip sack, or the sack, that led to the game sealing pick. I thought these guys just balled their asses off today, and the Bears were able to continually get pressure with just 4 guys, and that led to big turnovers. So shout out to the big guys up front, the Bears defensive line. They all deserve to be in the penthouse today.
I'm going to do 2 because there's only 3 of us, and I'll make them very, very quick. The first one goes to Matt Eberflus. I can't believe I'm saying that, but for specifically his second half adjustments. The defense played inspired football in the second half. I am a big Matt Eberflus doubter, but I think he showed that his defense was pretty spectacular in the second half. And I really think one of the stars of that defense that, you know, as I'm looking at this, TJ Edwards, 15 total tackles, 10 solo, 2 tackles for a loss. He was worth every penny, absolutely every penny, and someone that I'm excited that the Bears have. Just awesome. Boys, anybody else that you want to give a quick shout out to, just because there's only 3 of us, and so we got a little extra time?
Tyreek Stevenson for jamming up the Stevenson Expressway. Like I said, he would. I put out the memo on Thursday. No, Will Levis didn't listen. So great awareness by him to really change the game at the end.
Shells? Anybody else? Torrey Taylor, the punter? Seriously, you look good.
I can't right now. No.
What's wrong, Sheldon? What's wrong?
I can't.
You need a hug, buddy.
It just feels like a throwaway. It feels like,
no!
when you put the punter in the penthouse, that usually means you scored 0 offensive touchdowns and barely squeaked. I mean, that's a no. I'm not gonna do it.
All right, boys. Well, if that's the case, let's go the exact same order for the outhouse. Shells, who do you got in the outhouse?
Yeah, I'm going to put Shane Waldron in there. I talked about it a little bit earlier. I wasn't crazy with his early play calling. Seemed like in the beginning there were a lot of early runs, setting up some obvious passing down situations. I don't know where Cole Kmet was today. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from him. I would have liked to have seen Caleb Williams get out in the perimeter more. It just felt like there wasn't really a rhythm between him and Caleb. And I think that's one of the things that's going to improve as they get more experience with each other. They figure each other out and understand what each other likes, what they don't like. That's all going to take time. But so maybe a little bit of a tough situation for him in game one. But I just really wasn't crazy about some of the play calling and some of the rhythm that we saw or lack thereof between the play calling and Caleb Williams.
I'm going to take the easy one. I'm going to take Velus Jones just because not only was it just a bad gaffe, but that's coming off like a kickoff return. Titans just scored. The offense is getting the ball back. That's your chance to respond. It was really only had two, but where Tony Pollard went in untouched. The fact that you are then getting the ball back and you have an issue like this and just gift it, literally kick it right to the other team was brutal. It sucked the air out of all of Soldier Field. Everybody in attendance was saying so. And the fact that the Bears defense was able to hold them to a field goal was a miracle. I thought that was much bigger in the moment of the game because the offense didn't have a chance to rebuttal. Like they took another three, 4 minutes to actually get the ball back. And I think that that's huge when you're talking about momentum. So Velus, don't ever return a kickoff again. You could be a gadget back. I don't care. Just anytime you actually have to catch a ball, like the ball comes to you when it's not handed to you, don't do it. Just don't.
This is not going to go well for me. I'm going to do it. Sheldon, I know you're going to get angry and I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. Caleb Williams, he didn't play well. It is not all his fault. And I need to make sure that I make this abundantly clear. I am in no way suggesting that I don't believe in Caleb Williams, that I don't think that he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I think we can sit back and objectively say that 14 for 29, 93 yards, and one of those sacks was just, ugh. He looked rushed. He looked, which is obviously we talked about the offensive line, but also just when he did have time, overthrowing receivers. Then obviously we can talk a little bit about Keenan Allen dropping again, right? They didn't do him any favors, but I think it's okay to say objectively that Caleb Williams did not play particularly well today. And the first thing that I was thinking about when I was really trying to wrap my head around this argument was Walter Payton for his first two games. And I think it was his very first carry was like negative 10 yards or something along those lines. Right. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams will have Walter Payton's career, but what I am saying is that just because he doesn't play well today, he didn't play well today. Doesn't mean that he's not going to play well today. I just, Youngie Kim, you can get out of here. You're going to get me in so much trouble. People are going to be lighting up my Twitter. No, he does not stink. That's not what I'm saying, but he played stinky today. And that is kind of an argument that I'm going to stand by. And I'm just watching Shells just get a little bit angrier and angrier and angrier. And so Shells, you know, I love you, buddy. And I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not at all going to put any of this on Caleb Williams. You've got a rookie quarterback in his first game with zero run game, absolutely no run support and no offensive line help. And pressure up the middle and a play caller who did nothing from a play calling standpoint to address the pressure up the middle. I mean, when you take those things into consideration, I don't know how you can have expectations for him in game one. Again, I'd like to see how this thing goes the next few weeks, but I mean, I just can't take anything out of this game one way or the other or pin any of this on him because the support around him today was so bad. But again, I think a lot of that stuff's going to get better. I think the chemistry between the play caller and the quarterback are going to get better. I hope the offensive line gets better, but if not, to Brendan's point earlier, Walsh's got to do some stuff to sort of hide those deficiencies up the middle. Is he willing to do that? Is he capable of doing that? Or is he, stubborn that to the point where he doesn't want to change what he's doing? But I don't know. It was all bad. And I can't look at Caleb and go, what did you expect with that kind of support? And again, going back to something that I've harped on since he was drafted, since before he was drafted. I think he's phenomenally talented. I think he's awesome. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't think he's a transcending quarterback. I think that there are very, very few quarterbacks who can transcend a terrible situation, bad offensive line play, bad play calling. He is a rookie that needs a lot of things to go right in his development. He needs a good offensive line. He needs good coaching. He needs a competent offensive coordinator. He's not somebody that's going to step into a really, really awful situation and transcend that team. I just don't. Again, there are like maybe a handful of quarterbacks in NFL history that are like that. There aren't many. So I need to see more support around him before I start saying like, hey, yeah, you were terrible today. I mean, I know the stats weren't there. The production wasn't there. But I don't feel like he had a chance today. I really don't. I think Brennan made a good point. He kind of got maybe a little bit shell-shocked at first, just sort of frustrated. And it kind of went downhill from there. But I don't know. That's my perspective on the Caleb Williams experience from today.
I'm pretty with Shells on this. It wasn't a good performance, but there was a lot that just didn't go right. I didn't think he got the help that he could have had. You know, we talked about some of the misses. There were misses. Like, he was either rushing throws or things were just a little bit inaccurate. But I go back to the fact that he acknowledged the frustration. I think TJ Brooks had a great comment earlier. He said after the game, he was being humble. He was acknowledging that his game wasn't great. He really just owned it. And not to compare the two, because I know it's never good to do this, but just for fun, I went back and watched Justin Fields' press conference after his first start against the Browns. I just wanted to see what it was like. And one thing in particular stood out to me when it came to Fields' response and Caleb's response. Both of them were asked, have you ever had a game like this before and felt like this before? Justin Fields said no. Caleb Williams said, yes, against Notre Dame, I had a bad game. It wasn't my best performance. I needed to do better, and I maybe was doing a little too much. He threw interceptions, all of that. So I don't know. I like the self-awareness from him. He knows he needs to get better. And it feels genuine from him. Like, he's happy that the Bears won. He's happy that his teammates have his back and he can continue to grow. But I also think a performance like this isn't going to be indicative of his career. I don't think this is going to be a situation where he's seeing ghosts and he's afraid of getting hit in the pocket. He did only take 2 sacks. I think that's important to know. And one of them was bad. One of them was brutal. It was 19 yards. But the fact that he was able to get rid of the ball at times and keep the play alive, maybe slide earlier than he needed to, just to make sure that the Bears, like, he was keeping the ball out of harm's way. Things like that still stood out to me today. So I just don't think that this is going to be indicative. And like Shell said, it's a bad performance. I think it was just an overall bad offensive performance that I'm not pinning on him. And I think you're going to see a different quarterback from now. And then I'm going to say, like, mid to late October, like, it's going to look drastically different.
I just want to make sure, and I don't think this is what you were trying to say, Brendan. I don't think this is going to be the quarterback that we're going to see going forward, right? I want to make that abundantly clear. His leadership, his humility at the point, like, I love all of that stuff. I love this work, his work ethic, everything. I just am saying it's okay to say he had objectively a bad day, but so did Shane Waldron. So did the offensive line, right? It was all bad, right? And I just, that sometimes Bears fans, we get really blind eyes, and maybe this is all NFL fans. Well, we can defend him. When I think in actuality, it's okay to say he had a bad game, but I don't believe for a second that this is the same quarterback that we're going to see all season long. I don't think we're going to see another performance where we're talking about an under 100 yards passing for an entire NFL game. I don't think that's going to be the case. I believe in this kid. I think he's going to get better, but I am saying this one wasn't good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. One other thing I want to mention, the comments pointed out, shout out to TJ. Oh, wrong one. things are moving too fast.
I think I did say Sam Mustipher-esque earlier, did I not?
You did. Sorry, it was Kiwi Bear. Having a bad interior line with a 6-1 QB doesn't seem like a good plan. And then Youngie Kim, too many bat downs. Way too many bat downs. That is a little bit concerning, where maybe is he telegraphing a little bit of throws? He is a short-ish quarterback. He's not short, but he's shorter than somebody like Justin Fields. So I definitely want to see less batted balls at the line of scrimmage, because that was very demoralizing.
I wish Jack was here. I'd want to pick his brain, because I know he's coached quarterbacks before. Yes, just at the high school level, but still, like, is it a throwing lane thing? Is it, Brendan, what you're talking about, is he telegraphing? Was it simply just the fact that the offensive line was just that bad that the guys were able to, where they coached well, where they got their hands up? And maybe we're going to look back at, you know, throughout the season and be like, man, Tennessee may have, I don't believe this yet, but maybe Tennessee has a top five defense. And, you know, he just went up against a really, really, really good defense. From year to year, things change, right? And so maybe Tennessee's defense was really that good. I don't know. But yeah, way too many batted balls.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it in the text string. I get it. It could be something to be concerned about. But why I'm not concerned about it is I think he's going to adapt. I think part of it's the speed. I don't remember him getting batted down a ton in college, but the NFL, these defensive linemen are so much better at knowing when to get their hands up and quicker in getting their hands up. And I think he's going to make the adjustments. I think he's very adept at adjusting to the speed of the game. And I'm not so worried about that going forward. I think he's going to make the necessary adjustments. But I mean, I get it. It was something a little bit concerning, and it's a great point by Kiwi Bear. Like, again, why do why would you put a suspect interior offensive line with a shorter quarterback? But we've been talking about a bad interior offensive line for how many years now, guys?
For a long time.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it just feels so down, but I'm happy overall. Like, yes. I will take, I don't know. I know we're discussing like the negatives and everything. Of course, totally makes sense. I don't feel like the sky's falling. I'm not saying you guys do too either. It's a weird vibe.
I'm shocked Dangle's already out on Caleb, but I mean, other than that, I think for the most
true.
Part.
Yeah, true.
This is oh God. I picked the Bears to go 9-8 this season, and a win like this, it could be imperative down the stretch. You know, I mean, later on, if they have a losing streak or something to that effect, do you know what I mean? Like, I honestly, like, I'm very happy about this. I think it is just the fact, because it's the movie that Bears fans have seen so many damn times, right? Like, the Bears are who we thought they are. They're a damn good defense. They got some special teams aces. Cairo Santos, did that 50-yarder, like, could it have gone more down the middle, right? Like, they were phenomenal. But I don't want to watch historically bad offense with really good defense and really good special teams. I'd like to watch a complete victory in some way, shape, or form. And so with that, I don't think the sky is falling. I think Caleb is going to be just fine down the stretch. I think there are some things to be a little, you know, angry about. And
there was good too from Caleb today. And I maybe the stats didn't bear it out, but like, I mean, there were some really on target throws. The throw to Keenan Allen was great in the end zone. He just dropped it. Mm-hmm. But that was like, when you look at the quarterback angle that they showed on the replay, that was a really nice throw. The one to DJ Moore on the run, was another great one. His awareness is phenomenal. That's what I really like about him. And again, not comparing, but just noticing the differences in watching Justin Fields the last few years and his spatial awareness. And that's why I'm not worried about the batted balls either. I think it's just a matter of him knowing where to slide, where to get those throwing lanes. But he's just, I just think it's going to take a little time, but it just felt different watching him operate within the pocket and processing downfield. And maybe the throws weren't on target today, but I think most of that was not were things outside of his control. But there was a lot of good that I saw from a quarterback making his first start in the NFL today, even if the stats weren't there.
Dude, the ball jumps out of his hands. It's kind of so amazing quick. Sometimes watching yep. how fast, not only the velocity of the ball, but just how quickly it jumps out. There was a couple plays where I just looked. I'm like, oh, wow, he actually completed that, or he fit that in the window, and yeah. either it was dropped or whatever. And then, yeah, talking to like what you said, Shells, about his awareness, how about the weird play that Roma Dunze caught that was like up in the air and he fumbled and then the Bears got it? Do you know how fast he got to the line to just run any sort of play? Like, then surely the Titans or the refs would have reviewed that. I know they reviewed the Komet catch.
Yeah.
The play after that was so freaking fast. And I don't think I've seen a Bears quarterback do that in a long time, where they had the, not only just like the awareness to get up to the line, but actually get everybody there and call a play that wasn't even spiking the ball or just a quick handoff. Really impressed me.
Anybody else think the refs had like a brain fart and thought they could challenge two plays earlier? Cause I kept rewinding the
Komet play. Yeah. Why are you looking?
What are they challenging? It was so bizarre.
I do. We've got some comments coming in and a couple of questions, boys, if it's okay with you, I'd like to get to these. I just think this is a really good one from Adrian Mask. I'm shocked that no interviewers have asked polls. Poor decision-making at center. It's absolutely infuriating. I know that's something we've talked about on this podcast quite a bit. Adrian, I'm right there with you. I would hope that they would. I think to our good friend TJ Brooks. TJ, hey, buddy. Poll's biggest mistake so far, is it the Chase Claypool? Velus Jones or not getting a freaking center? That's a tough one, boys. You can't go wishy-washy. You got to pick one of those three. Which ones are you picking? Brendan, what are you picking?
I think I'm picking the center because he's rectified the other two positions to an extent. Let's start with Velus Jones. He was the first offensive skill position player that he drafted in 2022. He was supposed to have a bigger role. He didn't. What did he do? He then tried to get Chase Claypool as part of that to shore up the wide receiver position and find some other specialists. And then when Chase Claypool didn't work out, what did he do? He got DJ Moore. He drafted Roma Dunze, traded for Keenan Allen. So the fact that he did make those mistakes, but he rectified them, he has not yet rectified the center position because he had Sam Mustipher. He had Lucas Patrick. He traded for Dan Feeney for some reason, and none of those guys worked. And now it's on to Coleman Shelton and potentially Ryan Bates. And so far that hasn't worked either. So I just think it's because he has not done enough to rectify that mistake.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like Claypool was a miss, but he, like you said, he moved on quickly. I think that the mistake with Velus Jones, and I, can we not put VJJ up there anymore?
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
There,
I think, yeah. I'll noodle that one around later, but they, you know, his mistake with him is not moving on quickly enough, but the center position, like that's what's, I think Dangle, why you and I have been so upset about this is like, you've got a first overall draft pick under center. He is the most important thing to your franchise right now. And why you wouldn't do everything humanly possible to protect him and keep him upright is beyond me. And they didn't do it with Justin Fields. And like, you could excuse that to an extent because now that you have the benefit of hindsight, you know that maybe Ryan Poles wasn't totally in on Fields. And so he was addressing other positions with the expectation that he would start building, you know, towards a new quarterback. And so I get that, why maybe he didn't make some moves. He felt like the opportunities or that maybe the prices were better at other positions, but like, this is your guy. You have to keep him safe. You have to keep him upright. You have to give him time to develop the skills necessary to play quarterback in the NFL. And if he doesn't have the time to do that because his center's getting his asshole blown up on a play-by-play basis, then like that's, you know, yeah. You heard me, Dangle. You heard me. Then, I mean, you're doing him no favors. You're stunting his development. You're stunting his growth. And it was all very solvable, I think. They had the money to do it. I don't know why they weren't more aggressive, even if they had to overpay to solidify that line. I mean, you look at Jordan Love and him just standing back there in the pocket is so infuriating because he has all day to throw. And then he ends up throwing wide receivers who have 14 yards of separation. But the play calling of the Packers is a different topic. But I think that's by far his biggest miss, is just not addressing the center position. It's very frustrating.
Totally agree with you guys, which is why I want to get to the next two questions. Brendan, I think this one's more specifically for you. I mean, my take on this was Booker wasn't out there a lot today. Am I right? I think they're trying to bring him on slowly. And I think Daryl Taylor kind of allows them that opportunity. Did I miss something?
No, I don't think so. Here we go. So I'm looking at Kevin Fishbane's unofficial Bear snaps. Snap counts. We'll get more like accurate information tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Guess how many snaps that Austin Booker had. Let's play a game.
Six.
That's what I was going to say. Six.
Guys weren't far off. Seven. So that's... he was not out there a lot. And then compare that to Daryl Taylor's 38. So clearly he is the starter. Yeah.
Daryl Taylor looked awesome, you know, and I just that was another. And again, Ryan Poles has done way more good than he's done bad, you know, and I think maybe, yeah, we're coming across too negative in this podcast. That's another big win for him, at least for week one that it was. This is another one I think is really interesting, too. My take on this, Brujah 7, does having a left-handed center make a difference? I don't think his snaps were an issue in any way. I think it was after he snapped that the blocking was the issue. Boys?
Yeah,
I agree. I don't think the snaps definitely weren't an issue. Caleb dropped one of them. I'm not sure if that was internet good. Test 1 2 3.
Yeah, we I can hear you. Hi, Brendan.
Go to shells first.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think the one drop that Brendan was referencing, it looked like it hit Caleb right in the stomach, or it was, you know, belt high. I don't think that was the issue. So no, I don't necessarily think it's the snapping. He just couldn't block anything today. I mean, every replay I saw, it was Coleman Shelton on his back or on his rear end. Or spinning around looking lost. I mean, he legit looked like a third stringer today.
So
yeah, I'm Chelsea. Yeah.
Let's move on. Brujah 7, the new 52, Taylor balled out. I agree, which makes me think, do I need to go to our guy, Mike Schaefer, and get another one of these? And so for all of you that haven't checked it out on Twitter, it's pretty amazing. This was a Justin Fields jersey, but now it's a Jalen Johnson jersey. He sent a new tag. It was crazy inexpensive, and he got it lightning quick to me. And then I went to a tailor. He gives you, like, you can just iron it on directions. But I just said, hey, I'm going to take it to a tailor, and they did it for $16. So instead of spending $150 or $20 or whatever it is to get a new Bears jersey, I took my Justin Fields jersey, and now it's a Jalen Johnson jersey. So Mike Schaefer, thank you. Maybe I'm going to do the same thing with my Khalil Mack jersey and make it a Daryl Taylor jersey. I don't know, because it was such an easy process. If you've got Twitter, reach out to Mike Schaefer. He's amazing. Shells, I can see that Brendan's internet is telling us it's time to wrap it up. I think, okay,
yeah.
So I guess, you know, hi, Brendan, you with us?
I don't know what happened. Just kicked me out. Okay. It literally just dropped. I don't know. I've never had that.
Okay. Well, boys, it's perfect timing. Anything that we missed that we need to talk about, other than we'll talk next week in just a second, but just anything else about this game in particular that we missed that we need to chat about?
Yeah. Can we take that Gerald Everett screen out of the playbook and light it on fire?
That was terrible.
I never want to see that play again, ever.
Tight end screens just shouldn't be a thing. How about this from Patrick Finley? Caleb Williams' 55.7 passer rating is the 11th worst debut among all QBs picked first overall since 1970. The list of performances worse than his includes John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, Matthew Stafford, Troy Aikman, and Eli Manning. Nothing to panic about. Things happen.
Dude, he had a bad game. That doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. Yeah. So, all right. Well, then, boys, let's talk real quick. My prediction, and I have yours in case you forgot it, just here, just in case. I was predicting for next week that it's going to be a loss. I'm going to go ahead and stick with that. I think the Texans look pretty good against the Colts today, making sure that that win happened. And so I am going to – I don't know what it's going to be. We're looking at – it's going to be the – wow, this is crazy. We've already got a Sunday night game next week. Mm-hmm. So that's crazy. So it'll be a 7:20 start at Texans. I'm taking a loss. Shells, you sticking with your initial prediction?
Yep, I'm sticking with a loss here.
And, Brendan, you called for a win. Are you going to stick with a win or you change your mind?
Before I answer that, you guys would want to play another game. Guess the line.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll say 6.
Damn, that I was gonna say something similar. Yeah, I would. You know, maybe I'll say 3. Maybe.
How did you go from I'm gonna say something similar and then cut it in half?
Because I want to make it more fun that way. I don't know.
That's fine. That's fine. Shell's once again on it, 6.5. Yeah. So almost a full touchdown. Look, I probably should switch, but I'm gonna be in Hawaii when this game is being played out next to a pool. So screw it. I'm just gonna say it's a win because. I'm going to be on vacation and the Bears can't hurt me when I'm on vacation.
So are you going to be able to watch the game or are you even going to watch the game when you're out in Hawaii? Are you like legit taking a vacation?
So we are two of our friends are getting married. I'll just give them a quick shout out. Shout out to Tess and Rob. She is from the area and he is from Australia. He's a native Australian, moved to the States a few years ago. They met, started dating, got engaged. And he, because they have family in Australia and family in America, they said, hey, let's pick a halfway point and Hawaii is a good halfway point. And he's actually getting into football this year too, which is really fun. Like we've been talking about it. So they're getting married that Saturday and then they're doing some sort of like pool party after on Sunday. And the nice thing about it, guys, is Hawaii is 5 hours behind. So at 7:20, it's going to be 2:20 right in the middle of the afternoon. I'm just going to be watching by at the pool bar, like just having a good old time.
That's wonderful. Awesome. I have two questions. One, do you know, is this Australian? Is he a fan of the footy? Right?
Not as much rugby. But he's stoked. He's stoked that Tory Taylor is a member of the Bears. He messaged me as soon as he was drafted. He's like, hey, he's from Australia. I was like, dude, I know. So he's a really good guy. Really happy for those two getting married. Okay, what's your second question?
I don't remember what it was. I don't think I care anymore. So
I did, Ryan, I swear to God, I asked him, we went out to dinner one time. I was like, hey, are you a fan of Australian rules football? You know, I do a podcast with this guy who's a big fan. He's like, eh, not really. I'm like, all right, never mind.
I'm afraid to look up the footy on Urban Dictionary, Dangle.
So I'll just say this. I was going to give him a shout out later, but I might as well give him a shout out now. Mike Osterwick, Ozzy, our good friend, also, you know, kind of sort of works for the Bear Down Chicago Podcast Network. His team is playing my team in the, they call them finals, but it's the playoffs. And so it's going to get a little salty this weekend. So we'll see what happens. Boys, ooh, anything else? Yes, indeed. So that just as a programming note, we will absolutely positively not be on Sunday night next week. More than likely, it'll be on Monday evening at 7:30. We don't know who's going to be on the pod just yet. We'll have to talk to the whole crew, see what's going on. But that's what's going on. Boys, anything else before we get to shout outs and we get out of here?
One last thing I'll say, and I think I said it at the beginning of the show, but I just kind of want to emphasize to everybody, not only you guys, but like everybody listening, this is going to be a long season. There's going to be plenty of pain points. There's going to be plenty of moments where we want to pull our hair out. And this team is going to look a hell of a lot different today than it does. Or I guess it's going to look a hell of a lot different in January than it does today. Hopefully that means playoffs. Hopefully that means a winning season. But just remember, as whatever you feel today, if you're happy, if you're sad, like, you know, a lot is going to change between now and then. So it's early in the season. It's literally the first game. Things are going to get better. Hopefully things could also get worse. I mean, we saw 2-1 start in 2022 and things got way worse, but yeah, this is going to be a fun ride. Thank you for being with us on it. And yeah, just remember, we're going to look back in September and say, hey, remember that really weird game where Caleb Williams didn't do jack and the offense couldn't do anything? That was a weird game. Look how far we've come since then. So just pointing that out there, this is going to be a very long season.
Awesome. With that being said, Shells, you ready to give shout outs?
I am. Yeah, sure am.
All right, let's go. Shells, Brendan, and I will finish it up. Shout outs, boys.
So I want to give a couple of shout outs to a couple of followers that helped me out over the weekend with some questions. Snickle Fritz Picks. He is at Nickel Frit 1375. Try to say that like once. That was difficult to say. And Balake, he is at Balake. And then I want to shout out, I don't know if you guys saw this, it's not even really a shout out, but I want to mention them. This Kazem Dallas, I don't even know how to say it. Did anybody see the video floating around Twitter of the Texas Michigan game that was being broadcast from a bar in Dallas? You guys not seeing this? It's unbelievable. No. I don't know what technology it is. It's insane. I want you to come to South Carolina, please, and open one of these things. It's unreal. If you haven't seen it, go out to their Twitter handle. They're at COSM Dallas. I watched the video like four times, and it literally looks and feels like you were at the game. I couldn't believe it. It was not a live broadcast. So go check that out. That was pretty neat. But that could be the future, guys, like how we watch football, and I would totally be down for it. It's amazing.
I got to see the video. Shells, if you think of it, send it to us, because I want to
watch that. Yep, I will.
All right, I got two shout outs. One of them is in the chat. Shout out to Bruja, one of the best guys. Like, so he was a big participant in last week's show. Thank you, man. I'll definitely pass the message along to my friends. But this guy, right after our show, Bears offensive lineman on the practice squad, Theo Benedict, said he was looking for a house to rent, like in the Lake Forest area, because he was going to be around. And Bruja literally DM'd him Jeff Cadwallader's information. That was awesome. And he even tweeted and said, hey, like, you know, make sure you call Jeff and everything. So like stuff like that really does mean a lot to us, guys. Like we can't do this without our supporters. Jeff has helped us out so much. And the fact that you, the listeners and the people participating, are actually following through and said, hey, check out this guy, he might be able to help you out. Just a huge, huge thing that Bruja did, that, you know, it a little goes a long way. So thank you for doing that. That was awesome. And I made sure as soon as Bruja messaged me and I was like, I got to tell everybody else this. So I made sure to pass the message along. But shout out to you, man. You're one of the best dudes and we really appreciate you. And then shout out to this was another, as Chills was talking, things that we saw on Twitter this weekend. I'm going to shout out Dalton Cates and his friend Tyler. This was going around as like the fantasy football punishment for this one guy named Tyler who had to stay in a bar from 6 a.m. when it opened to 2 a.m. when it closed. And the only way he can reduce the time is by drinking. So every drink that he consumed, 30 minutes would be taken off. And he has the whole thread. And it was incredible. Like, just, he even got kicked out of the original bar. He had to go to another bar. The detail that was put into this was phenomenal. He's even wearing, it looks like a Khalil Mack Bears jersey. So he's a Bears fan. Check out the thread. He's at Dalton_Cates with a K. He's got a decent amount of followers too. But just if you have like maybe 5 minutes to spare, it is so fun. It is well worth the read to just go through this, what this guy's doing. So shout out to Dalton. That was awesome.
Man, the chat is just, it's so cool. So Alias, having a lot of stuff. Glad you found the show. Youngie Kim, some awesome stuff. Matt Vander Zanden, Bruja, some great stuff. Rob Van Kamen, just every interaction is positive and is awesome and just making some great connections and so appreciative of you, Rob. So thank you so much for all of your support of the show and all the things we're doing and Bear Down, buddy. Appreciate that. Mike Osterwick, again, Ozzy, let's be friends after this weekend. I know it might be tough, but let's stay friends. And then this one, boys, this one is truly, truly special for me. So guy's name is Grant Carter. Now, Grant and I, we went to the same high school. So we cheer for the same high school team. Then we went to the same college. We weren't like super good friends, but we knew of each other and we went to the same college. We had a blast. We're both diehard NIU fans. We're both Cub fans. We're both Bears fans, right? Like I often joke that he is my sports soulmate. And after that game against Notre Dame, we've been texting for the whole game. And as we do for pretty much almost every NIU game. And he called me and it was something truly, truly special. And, you forget sports brings people together in a way that not everything can. And so, Grant, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. And dude, we beat Notre Dame, man. Let's go. So sorry about that, Brendan. Sorry, but not sorry at all. So for all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we know that you can get your Bears content absolutely anywhere. There's a million Bears podcasts. You've chosen to hang out with us tonight. It means more than any of us can say. We are so damn appreciative of all of you. Lots of new followers today, whether that be subscribers on YouTube, people following the podcast on whatever the audio only platform is. We got a bunch of new Twitter followers, Instagram followers, and we are just so, so, so thankful. It does not get lost on us. So thank you so much. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, that's Patrick Sheldon, Brendan Shagrew, Jack Wright, Cam Ellis, Logan Bradley. I am Ryan Dengel. Folks, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what else to say other than thank you so much. Have a fantastic evening. And as always, folks, Bear Down, Chicago.